glass. Okay, so this week we'll be covering James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. But 2 weeks ago, Pastor Kevin taught on, 11 through 12, speaking on judging our neighbors. And as Pastor Kevin was preaching, my mind started to wander where it oftentimes does wander. It's on point. It's on point. It's good.
Poor Chris.
Started to wander off to music, and more specifically, rap music. In my case. So I'm going to take a risk here. I'm going to read a few lines from a song that I think really kind of summed up what Pastor Kevin was teaching on last week, to kind of review. So the words go like this. God, prepare me for the war. Comfort be the thing that'll make a king fall. Eyes on the Lord, got to grip that blade of the sword. Now, the first two lines there, he's referencing King David there. And as we know, David, instead of going off to war with his men, he decided to stay back, and he got comfortable. And that's when he saw Bathsheba bathing, and he fell into lust. And then a whole line of sin fell from that. So he's referencing how King David, how comfort was the root of all that sin. And he's asking God, keep me from that comfort, being too comfortable. But the next line is kind of what I was getting at, where he says, eyes on the Lord, gotta grip that blade of the sword. And he's referencing Ephesians there when Ephesians is talking about putting on the armor of God. And he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And far too often as believers, we take that sword and we hold it by the grip of that sword. And we see people out in the world that don't agree with us, don't live the lifestyle we live, and we start poking at them with that sword. So what he's saying is that we need to take that sword and grab it by the blade. It needs to penetrate us. The Word of God needs to penetrate our hearts. And that's what I was thinking about last week when Pastor Kevin was teaching. So I wasn't wandering too far off. And plus, you didn't ask for any comments or questions either, and I really wanted to say it then.
That's one of those times when I've been
so
carelessness.
You got it today. All right, so on to what I'm teaching on, verses 13 through 17. And if we're honest with ourselves, these verses should probably cause a lot of anxiety within us, a lot of stress, if they're not understood properly. Because in these verses, we come to realize that we are in no control of how long we live. We could be perfectly healthy sitting here today, be gone tomorrow. We have no idea. But more than that, we are in no control of even our activities and our accomplishments, what we accomplish. We live in a world, in our culture, where we believe if I just work hard enough, I'll accomplish what I want to accomplish. And some of that is true. But it's God that gives us those abilities, those resources to accomplish our goals. So at the end of the day, God is in control of even our activities and our accomplishments. And then sometimes we read these verses and we could almost kind of dumb them down, gloss over them. If you've watched enough Tyler Perry movies as I have, you've probably heard the phrase, if you want to make God laugh, well then tell him your plans. And we come up with cute little sayings, and then we go on with our days without giving God much thought. So verse 13, I'll just read. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So who is James addressing? Verse 13. Well, James is addressing anyone who does five things. Anyone who plans to set out on a trip. Anyone who plans to arrive at a destination. Anyone who plans to spend a certain amount of time there. Anyone who plans to engage in business and carry through on a plan of action. And anyone who plans for that business to have any certain results. So what's the problem? What's wrong with this? Are you telling me I shouldn't plan? Am I to stop planning because my life, are you telling me I should stop planning? Are you telling me that because my life is short, I should just isolate myself, drop out of society, waiting for my life vapor of a life to just run out? Well, no, the problem is that the plans that were made in verse 13 are made without taking a true view of life and a true view of God into account. True view of life and a true view of God. In verse 14, we see a true view of life. It says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We see a lot of this same kind of wording. If you look in Job chapter 7, verse 9, it says, our lives are like a cloud that moves across the sky and then vanishes. Chapter 8, verse 9, our lives are like a shadow. 9, verse 25, he says, our lives are swifter than a runner. A lot of the same language in Job. So what practical bottom line difference does it make in my business planning and my life planning whether I believe my life is a vapor? Like I said before, do I stop planning because my life is short or uncertain? No, we don't. Like I said, we do not just drop out of society waiting for our vapor of our life to run out. So what's the point? Why is he addressing this? Well, it matters to God whether a truly true view of life informs and shapes the way we think and how we speak about our plans. the fact that our lives are a vapor, it may not change the bottom line of the decisions we make, but it makes a difference how we think and how we talk about our plans. Well, why does this matter? Because we were created not just to go places and do things, but to have certain attitudes and convictions that reflect the truth about life and God. God means for the truth about himself in life to be known, felt, spoken of as part of our reason for being. In all our planning, we must keep in mind and give expression to the fact that we have no firm substance on this earth. We are as fragile as mist and vapor. We have no durability on this earth, and our lives are short. One day we'll all be gone, and life will go on. So a true view of life, verse 14. In verse 15, we see a true view of God. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So two important things about God in that verse. If the Lord wills, we will live. And if the Lord wills, we will do. If the Lord wills, we will live. The duration of our lives are in the hands of God. God governs how long we live. God is ultimately in control of life and death. We may not know how long our vapor of a life may linger, but God knows. He knows. If the Lord wills, we will do. The activities and accomplishments of our lives are in the hands of God. God governs what we accomplish. And I wrote in parentheses there how countercultural this is in our day. I mean, I can't help but think of any time I watch an award show, just about everybody will get up there and at one point in the acceptance speech will thank God in their acceptance speech and then go on and live lives as ungodly and have no thought of God in their lives. But how much of this truly impacts our daily life? Like, I think about, like, how often do I actually wake up in the morning and just thank God I have you put the breath in my lungs? You know, I can come to work today because you allowed me to have the strength to get up out of bed, to drive to work this morning, to walk into work this morning. And I think how often I actually get to work and don't have much thought of God as I go through my, you know, daily life at work. You just try to get through the day. And I have little thought of how God governs just the little accomplishments I have through the day. So these truths should shape our mindset and our way of talking. A true view of God should be known, believed, embraced, cherished, kept in mind, and spoken of. But we have a deeper problem here than just the absence of truth and bad theology. As we'll see in verse 16, there's pride and there's arrogance. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. The root problem is arrogance and pride. It is arrogant not to believe with your heart and confess with your lips that God governs how long we live and what we accomplish. Verse 17, I put response to the will of God, and verse 17 kind of looks at the, the negative side of not responding to the will of God. It says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. It should be, it is a characteristic of a Christian to desire to do the will of God. Doesn't mean we're always successful, but the desire is there. And we see this throughout Scripture. You can see it in Psalms, chapter 40, verse 8, 143:10. You see it in John's Gospel, and 1 John 2:17. Says the people with eternal life are the ones who desire to obey the will of God. In John 4:34 and in 5:30, see a lot of the same wording. As a believer, we look to Christ to see perfect obedience to the will of God. So, in closing, the big root issue that James is addressing here is our pride and our arrogance. It's not so much the big deal about the planning and the going and the doing, what we accomplish. But do we give acknowledgement to the one who gives us the ability to do that? So, that's all I had. Pastor Kevin, any comments?